Hi, I'm Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr, and thanks for listening tonight. This is my first show in the new year, and tonight I have with us Michael Zinn, and we're going to talk about his book, The Self-Help Revolution, how he used his diet to change his life, where his life was going, and where it is today. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to come on. I appreciate it. So before we get started, telling us a little bit about you, what brought you to write this book, and then we'll talk about the content of it and where people can find it. It's a really good book,
okay.
Simple information, easy to understand, lots of varied information, kind of touches on a little bit of everything, and endorsed by the CEO, the co-CEO of Whole Foods. So tell us, Michael, where can people find this book?
Well, it's available everywhere, Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, but you can also go to my website, selfhelprevolution.com, selfhelprevolution.com, and because you're one of my favorite people in the world, and this is a new year, I'm going to give away 20 free copies of the book. If you go to my website and just contact me on there, I'll make sure you get a free copy of the book. Just say that you're on the show with Eva, and I wanted to let them know in advance about that. So selfhelprevolution.com is where you can find it. And you were asking about how this all started?
Well, first of all, thank you for that kind offer. As listeners, I advise you to take him up on that offer. It's a really good book about, I guess, having, it's a good emotional support for changing your life and starting up with the New Year's resolution of putting the different foot forward with your health and your food. So, yeah, I'd love to hear about it, and I know my listeners will, too.
Okay. Yeah, well, the book really started, the whole story started with my father. And my father was my hero. He still is my hero. And very healthy, seemingly, through his 40s, a tremendous athlete, and then when he got to his late 40s, he started gaining weight, and then he developed a chronic illness. They put him on several different pharmaceuticals. That's typically what they do, and he began to get worse and heavier. And then one day I got a phone call, and that he had dropped dead of a massive heart attack, and he died about 2 weeks before my first child was born. She never met him. My son never met him, and we all missed out on so many wonderful times with him this Christmas, and we still miss him today. And looking back at it, and I realized now it didn't have to happen. And ironically, when I turned 40, I looked in the mirror, and I looked like my dad. I had a triple chin. I had a huge waistline. I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol. I was pre-diabetic. And I knew if I didn't do something, I was going to end up just like my dad. And it would happen to me 10 years younger. And so I began to study. First off, I made a decision. I made a decision, I will take control of this. This is not going to happen to me. And that's really where the idea of self-help comes from. It's the notion that I have to take responsibility for my own health. And that was a new thought to me. That was, that was a new thought to probably everybody in my family. We had never thought of that before. And so I made a decision that day, that's what's going to happen.
So I'd like to ask you a question here. I had a conversation not really a question, but I'd like for you to elaborate a little bit more. I had a conversation with my brother the other day, who I think I told you when we talked before is dying of congestive heart failure. And I said, buddy, his name's David. I said, David, I'm so angry at you because you didn't listen to me 15 years ago because you wouldn't have to die. And he said, Sissy, I didn't believe you. And now I'm seeing what you told me on the Science Channel every week. And he said, mm-hmm. I thought that my doctors were taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were the one that probably told me that, you know, a doctor makes his decision what prescription he's going to write you within 5 minutes of the mm-hmm. time that you walk in the door, and that's barely time to ask mm-hmm. your name. So I'd just like mm-hmm. for you to talk a little bit more about that. People don't
yeah.
understand that your doctor does really not, and let me just do a disclaimer here. We are not physicians. We're not healthcare practitioners. We're not trying to treat or diagnose you. We're trying to give you information to change your life. Mm-hmm. So, talk, you know,
well,
your doctor
that story is
not.
That story.
Knowing. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. No. That story is very sad. I mean, it makes me want to cry to hear about your brother. And, you know, the same thing happened with one of my very best friends. He called me a little over a year ago, and he said he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And he was diagnosed in August, and he was gone in March. And he told me, he said, Michael, I know it was all that food I ate, all that junk food, all that dead food that I was eating all those years. And I just didn't believe it. And he left a beautiful wife and children and died way too young. And so it's a very, it's happening all around us. I mean, half of all, if you're in a room full of men, half of the men in that room will get cancer. That is a statistic. Just look it up. 40% of the women in that room will get cancer. A third are children. If you have a child born today and you have three kids, one of those children will be obese and diabetic. And all of those rates are going up at extraordinary pace. And so it is a lot of sisters are going to say goodbye to their brothers way too soon. Best friends are going to say goodbye. Parents, wives, husbands, children, it's happening all around us. It's a tsunami of sickness. And so we've got to do something. We can't. Gone are the days of Marcus Welby when we used to, our doctor knew us, knew our family, knew our history, and knew something about healing, knew something about prevention, knew something about nutrition. That's not the case anymore. You know, the average interaction between doctor and patient today, according to JAMA, according to their own medical research, and this was in 2000, by the way, is 30 seconds. 30 seconds. And they make a diagnosis in less than 2 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, a doctor has already made a diagnosis. And I can tell you what the diagnosis is. It's going to have to do with a pad and a pen and a prescription. And I'm not bashing doctors. They don't know any better. They haven't been trained. They don't have time. And the system that they're in today, and many of them despise the system they're in today, but there's nothing they can do about it. And so we have to take matters into our own hands, more now than ever before in our history.
I don't ordinarily like to chit-chat on my show about my stuff when I have a guest, but do you mind if I take a minute and tell a story about
no,
this guy?
<go ahead. laughs>
I mean, I'm just so on a mission right now about this very thing. You know, people, most people know that I had a heart attack in September. And I had no symptoms, well, very, very minute symptoms. And when I get into the hospital, they put one stent in, and the next day afternoon, I'm going to cut this short. The doctor came in and said, okay, we did one stent today. We're going to do four. We want to do four next week. We want to do four bypasses next month, and we want to put you on the heart transplant list. Oh, and by the way, there's a great new drug on the market. I'm not going to say what company, and it really doesn't matter, but it's a statin. And I'll give you that, and it'll fix your cholesterol. So I said, no thanks. And he said, you know what? You're not going to get any better medicine than the medicine that I can give you. So I said to him, do you know what that statin does? And he went, well, I've read about it. And I went, so you realize that it depletes CoQ10? Well, I've read about it. Do you know what happens when you don't get CoQ10? Well, I've read about it. So you realize that if I don't have CoQ10, my heart's going to fall apart along with the rest of my muscles. I'm going to have this horrible muscle pain, and you're writing me a prescription for this statin, and you're not telling me to take CoQ10, not to mention the other drugs he wanted me to take, too. And he just looked at me. The next week, I had another scare, and I had to, because I was scared then, and I went back in the hospital just to get tested, make sure it wasn't, you know, another heart attack. And his partner says, "I'm not putting any more stents in you. I'm not doing a quadruple bypass on you, and I'm certainly not putting you on a heart transplant list." And I said, "Why did he say that?" And the partner said, "You know, Eva, sometimes people have to send their kids to college." So I just had to tell that story. I'm sorry. Please go ahead with your
book.
Wow.
Well, it's, you know, we just have to take control of our own health and have to study things out. You're probably one out of a million people that would actually have a conversation questioning the prognosis or treatment. And we've all got to start doing that. And it's easy to study things now. You can get online and figure things out really, really quickly. And, you know, in the book I talk about the killers, the top three killers. And the first one is one that you would all suppose, you know, heart disease, heart attack. Number two is cancer. Number three, no one can believe it, but it's true. It's health care. Death by healthcare. And the biggest piece of that kills over 100,000 people annually, die of this. It's taking your drug as prescribed by your doctor kills over 120,000 people annually, more than die of breast cancer, prostate cancer, and AIDS combined annually, die of taking their drug as prescribed. And that's hard to believe, and a lot of people don't believe it. Just look it up. And I'm not trying to tell you don't ever take a drug. Sometimes we need a drug. But the average 65-year-old today is on 5 to 7 different pharmaceuticals. So I think we have a problem today with taking all these drugs. Many of these drugs do more damage than they do good. So we have to be very smart about what we're putting in our bodies.
Why is this happening?
Well, it all goes back to something that's green. It's not lettuce. It goes back to the dollar bill, and that's one thing I talk about in the book. It goes back to money. And I don't think there's a big grand conspiracy. The conspiracy is to make more and more money in any way that people can make it. And so drug companies aren't concerned about cures. They're concerned about treatment and treating something over and over and over again, not necessarily curing it, and how much of a drug they're selling. And they spend billions of dollars getting doctors to prescribe things, running advertising. Pharmaceutical ads are the number one advertisers in the world. And if you don't believe it, just turn on your TV and wait a few seconds. And they've decided that they can basically get patients to self-prescribe. How do they do that? They advertise on TV. People listen to those ads, and they run into their doctor, and they say, "I want this. I saw it on TV." And the doctors are armed and equipped and ready to go. And most people don't even question that process.
Wow. So talk to me a little bit about food. The people who are trying to make a difference in their life with food, think that they can go to their local grocery store and go to the regular produce department and buy the vegetables and get what they need. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I'm not a health nut. And I didn't grow vegan or vegetarian or shopping at Whole Foods, and I quite frankly thought a lot of those people were a little crazy and a little out there. I didn't understand them. But what I began to do is I began to study you know, why are we all getting fat? Why is everyone becoming obese? Why are we getting bigger every year? Our pant sizes are getting bigger. We're developing some new chronic illness. If you go back 20 or 30 years ago, it was not the case. Go back and look at your high school yearbooks from the 70s or 80s. Watch TV from that era. Very few people were obese. Very few people were obese. Why? What has changed? Did their diet change? Did they stop eating? Did they start eating different kinds of food? Some of that, but much of it is because our food has changed. A steak is not a steak. And what I began to learn was there's chemicals now in our food that are designed to make us fat. For example, most of the meat out there, especially the beef, is going to have female hormone in it. Why in the world would they give a cow, inject a cow with female hormones, with estrogen? I didn't know they did this. I didn't understand why they would do it. It makes that cow 40% fatter. And so when it goes to market, they can sell it for more money. It grows much faster. Okay? So what happens when I eat that cow and I get that estrogen? It makes me 40% fatter, you know, and it also causes young girls to develop 4 or 5 years younger. It causes young boys to develop breast tissue. It causes fish that live downstream from livestock farms to change sex from male to female. It does all kinds of things, and the average American is not aware of this. They've heard of hormones, and they just sort of write it off like I did, like, Yeah, there's chemicals in everything. You're going to die of something, and that's how I used to think. But what I started realizing is, wow, it's very dramatic. So my dad, here he is, he's just eating the same food he's always ate, but he's not. It's changed on him. This is not granddad's steak. You know, my granddad, we used to hand him the fat. You know, if you didn't want to eat the fat off your plate, hand it down to granddad. And granddad was down there in his 90s, skinny as a rail, eating fat. And but it was a different kind of fat. It was a fat from a cow that grew up down the road in green pasture, eating powerful, nutrient-dense grasses. And so if you eat that same fat today, you're going to blow up like a balloon. Most people aren't aware of how dramatic the food has changed. I call it Frankenfood or fake food.
I have to ask you, what do you think, what do you know anything about corn?
Yes.
I saw this thing on...
Corn is in everything.
...yesterday, and I'll tell it when you tell me what you know, but it blew my mind.
No, you tell me. You go first.
I don't have a TV, so I watch Netflix. I choose what I watch. And I was watching, I click on documentaries, and there was this thing that said how things are made. So I clicked on that. I thought, okay, that'll be good. The very first one was corn. And the very first thing that it says is corn is man-made. And they go out to Iowa, to the Midwest, and they interview all these farmers, and they go to these companies who use corn to make, of all things, corn is plastic. You know those white plastic forks you eat with? It's corn. I couldn't believe it. So now you talk about corn.
Wow.
And click on documentaries and watch how things are made. Click that one, and then you'll get about 30 things to choose from. The first one's corn.
Well, we subsidize corn, and the government funnels tons of money into corn subsidies, and so. What do? They make everything out of corn, and they feed animals as much corn as they possibly can. They have to give cows drugs to digest corn because it's normally not digestible. Most people have no idea about this. Why would they force cows, give them drugs so they could eat corn when they're not supposed to eat corn? Because they have so much of it, and it's so cheap. And so we have all of these cows that should be eating fantastic nutrient-dense grass, which would be so beneficial for us and for them, and they're not. And chickens and fish, they're feeding corn to fish. They're feeding corn to everybody, and it's everything. That's why high-fructose corn syrup is in everything. It's five times sweeter than sugar, and it metabolizes into fat much faster than sugar. It would be much better if we were using sugar than high fructose corn syrup. And so it's another example of, you know, what I talk about in the book is we've all heard the saying, you are what you eat, and that's been drilled into us. Well, what I discovered is you are what you eat eats. Let me say that again because it's a little tricky. You are what you eat eats. We have to start thinking about what has this cow been eating? What has this fish been eating? What has this chicken been eating? What has this plant been eating? It's not what you think they're eating. And whatever they're eating, that's what you're going to make your body with. And it's not what it used to be, not even close. And that's why everybody's blowing up like a balloon. That's why we're all getting sick like crazy with all kinds of diseases. That's why so many people we know now have cancer. It's all of this toxic, dumbed down, nutritionless food. In America, the richest country in the world, we're malnourished. We don't get the nutrition from our food because it's empty. And we're poisoned. It's loaded with toxins, all kinds of chemicals that weren't there 20 and 30 years ago.
So what is the purple pill?
Oh, the purple pill.
I thought that was
it's really, you know, you could take any number of colored pills. We just talk about one in the book. It's a pill that was developed to basically get rid of GERD. And GERD is, you know, acid reflux or indigestion or any number of digestive ills. And it basically just suppresses your stomach acid. And so you can eat whatever you want. If you go to the doctor and you say, I got these terrible stomach pains every time I eat, or I'm always burping, or I have gastric reflux, they'll just say, well, just take this pill, and you won't have to worry about it. They don't say, well, Joe, what's causing that? They just say, take this pill, and it goes away. And then maybe 10 years later, you find that you have stomach cancer, and you've been suppressing all the symptoms. But if you read the small print, if you go online and you can find it, all of the side effects of the little purple pill, you'll find that GERD itself is one of the side effects. It's also stomach cancer is one of the side effects. Bleeding ulcers is one of the side effects. Impotence is one of the side effects. Vaginitis is one of the side effects. And so there's this litany of side effects that come from taking a pill that's supposed to cure. It causes the same thing that it's supposed to cure. And this is going on all over America. I have a story in the book about a guy who goes to the doctor, and he stepped on a nail, and he's in the emergency room. And, you know, there's blood coming out of the wound, and the doctor says, look, we're just going to give you some codeine, and you're not going to feel a thing. You don't have to worry about it. And the doctor wants to send the guy home. And the guy's like, well, hey, doc, what about the nail? And the doc's like, don't worry about the nail. Let's just take care of the pain, and here's the prescription, and we'll see you. Give us a call in a few weeks. And that sounds crazy. That sounds ridiculous, and none of us would run out of the hospital as fast as we could in that scenario. But that's happening every single day. We
go to
the doctor. What's that?
Is that true?
Is what true?
Is that a true story?
No, well, it's metaphor. It's almost true. It's metaphorical. It just means that we go to the doctor with these problems.
Wouldn't surprise me. Just curious.
Yeah, well, but it's probably happened. I don't think it's quite that bad yet. But we go to the doctor with these problems, and the question is not what is causing it, and let's try to figure that out and heal it. It's just here, let's take care of the symptoms and send you on your way. And that's really what we've come to in America today. And the little purple pill is just an example of, you know, there's thousands of other examples like that.
So let's talk about water now. I'm just going to hit the subject because they're all good ones and you've done a good job talking about everything. So talk about water.
Well, water is your lifeblood, and in many ways, and you know, I think I used to look at people that drink bottled water, and I thought they were, you know, I thought they were crazy. And the truth is, some bottled water has been studied, and a lot of bottled water is just tap water repackaged. And there was a study done a number of years ago like that. So you can be an idiot drinking bottled water because you're just paying for tap water in many instances. So you have to be careful. But the AP did a study just a few years ago, and it got maybe a few hours of playtime on network news, and then you never saw it again. But you can still look it up, and it's in my book. What they did is they went around to different major cities and municipalities, and they started testing the water for chemicals. And what they found in the water of these major cities, this is the city water that kids are drinking, comes out of your faucet, all that. They found over 250 different drugs, okay? And I'm talking about heart medication. I'm talking about cancer treatments, radioactive treatments. I'm talking about Viagra. I'm talking about heroin. I'm talking about cocaine, crystal meth, a myriad of different drugs in the water. And this may sound crazy, but just look, if you don't believe it, just look it up. I thought it was, I didn't believe it either, but when you look it up, you find out it's true. How does it get in the water? Well, when someone takes a drug, pharmaceutical drug, an illicit drug, an illegal drug, doesn't really matter, it doesn't all get digested. And what doesn't get digested comes out when you go to the bathroom, when you urinate. And then some people, when they don't finish their drugs, they flush it down the toilet. So every day, think about a big city, you've got a myriad of drugs coming into the water system. These water systems were developed many years ago, and they do not have the capacity to filter out these drugs. They do not. And so when you drink your water, you're getting a panoply of different drugs. Now, the FDA jumped in real quick, and they said, well, the AP report is true, but it's in such small quantities that it really won't affect you. It's not going to hurt your children, blah, 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 blah. But they don't really know. And when a child, you know, he starts drinking the water when he's, what, 1 or 2 years old, and then continues his whole life, and every single day he's getting exposure to a myriad of drugs every single day, you want to tell me it doesn't have an impact? And many people are oblivious to this. I was oblivious to this. And I used to make fun of people who drank bottled water. I don't any longer because I know what's in the water.
Well, we have a mutual friend who sent me some water, some Essentia water. Are you familiar with that water? What is different about that water?
I love that water.
Don't live in the mountains where I do, where your water comes directly out of the side of the mountain and there's nothing above it but the acid rain. What information would you need to choose a good bottled water? Because, like you said, some of them are just tap water.
Well, ideally, we'd all be drinking your water. If you can bottle that for us, we'd appreciate it. And that's probably the best place to get it, or from New Zealand, or from some pristine source that has not been polluted. So if you have that at your disposal, that's probably the best possible place to get water that's made by nature. If you can't get water like that, then what I would say is you need to get water that's filtered through reverse osmosis. That's an evaporation process where everything is left out of the water, anything but water. And then they re-add minerals because you don't want to drink water that doesn't have minerals in it. That's called dead water, and a goldfish cannot live in just water. You need the minerals in there too, the electrolytes. And then you want to look for a water that's high in pH. Our bodies are very acidic. When we're babies, our bodies are at the lowest possible acidity, and then as we get older, they become more and more acidic. And the water in the world today is much more acidic than it's ever been before. And so what does that matter? We know now acidity creates an environment for chronic illness and cancer. And so you want to be as non-acidic as possible. One way you can fight acidity is by drinking a very high pH water. And that lowers the acidity throughout your body and creates a unfriendly atmosphere for bacteria growth, viral growth, fungal growth, etc. And so that's very important. Essentia is reverse osmosis. It's very high pH. It's one of the highest, and it has all the electrolytes added back to it. And when you can taste it, it just tastes very, very smooth. You'll just notice there's a different taste. I don't get paid by Essentia, so this is not an Essentia advertisement. I just really like it, and it is something you can find in most stores. And so you really need to consider the quality of water that you're getting. Water is not water is not water. Water, all water is not the same. And so, and we also find in many of the endemic populations that grow, that live to a very old age, that the water they're drinking is full of electrolytes, and it's predominantly very basic, meaning it's got a very high pH. And they believe there's a link between that and longevity.
I'll tell you something. I found using this Essentia, and I'm not paid by them either. It's just a friend of mine did it. And is that when I had my heart attack, they said, Eva, you can only drink no more than 60 milligrams of water a day because of, you know, getting retaining fluid, edema around the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got this water, you know, I started on these nutrients, and I did a heavy metals detoxing. But this water, and I don't know if it's in my imagination or if it's really real, I don't bloat. I mean, I don't have edema with this water. It seems like this water goes more where it's supposed to go, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I, too, like this water, and it's called Essentia, E-S-S-E-N-T-I-A, and I'm not a doctor, and I have no idea what about. I just know that I feel better when I drink it. So we have about 20 minutes. I'm going to let you talk about whatever you want to talk, maybe gut or perspective on your life or guarding your heart, or what would you like to talk about?
How much time did you have left?
We have about 25 minutes, 20 minutes.
And you want me just to talk about whatever I want to talk about?
Yeah, because I've interviewed you before, and I know you have lots of things to say.
Well, I mean, there's so many things I could talk about that are important, and I want to be sensitive to your listeners and think about what they may be going through and thinking about this time of year. I know a lot of people out there are struggling with their health, and they're struggling with chronic illness or their weight, and I get emails every day, and I talk to people every single day, and it's tough. And a lot of people like me have tried everything. If you go down to your bookstore and just look at the diet books, it'll drive you nuts. And then turn and look at the health books or the healthy eating books. And every book says something different, and they're very complicated. And I think a lot of people out there have given up. And they think they have to become a health nut. And I may sound like a health nut to you. I hope not. But a lot of people think, if I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to have to become a health nut and eat like a rabbit and drink green smoothies and do something really radical, and I just don't think I can do that. And if that's what I have to do, then probably I'm just going to die. I'm going to eventually die. I'm going to give up. And that's where I was. So if you're there, or you have a husband that's there, or you have a loved one that's there, I understand that. And it can be very frustrating out there. And there are so many different things to confuse you out there. But what I want to say to you tonight is it's easier than that. It's more simple than that. And it's not about becoming radical. It's not about adopting some newfangled diet. It's not about becoming a vegan or a vegetarian and depriving your body of things that you really love. It's truly about getting back to what great-grandmother and great-granddad knew, eating like they did, getting back to eating real food. What I started doing, in the book I have a 10-day challenge, not a diet, it's just a challenge, and the challenge is to start getting certain foods in your body. Don't stop eating anything. Don't deprive yourself of anything. Just start giving your body something. And what I began to do is I started making a smoothie. I call it the self-help smoothie. and it's so easy to make. You take a blender, put it by your fridge, and you start loading it up with wonderful things, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, all these things you used to eat and things you would still eat, but you just don't have time. And so you put all this stuff in the smoothie, and the smoothie has over 300 micronutrients in it, probably thousands, really. And it gives your body more nutrition than it's ever seen, certainly in a day, probably in months. And just watch what happens. What happened to me, I started doing that smoothie, and I started doing something I call the self-help salad. The recipes are in the book, and you can get a free book from me on my website. I started doing this. Within 5 months, I went from 220 down to 165. I went from a 37-inch down to a 29-inch, which 4 years later, I still have the same 29-inch waist. Okay, I'm wearing pants I wore in college. I believe I've gone back in time. I believe I'm younger today than I was 4 years ago when I started this process. Anybody looking at me would tell you the same. I look in the mirror and I'm like, wow. And I don't exercise. I exercise 15 minutes a day, if that, 15 to 20 minutes. It's the food. It's this wonderful, powerful food that grandmom and granddad used to eat. And when you start feeding your body powerful, nutrient-dense foods, watch what happens. You know, our bodies are so deprived of nutrition and so poisoned with all these toxins that they're putting in our food that they can't function. They're just, our bodies are struggling to survive. With the lack of nutrition and the poisoning that it's getting today. It's amazing that we're not sicker than we are, that we're living as long as we are with the food that we're eating. So if you can get back to start eating what grandma and granddad used to eat, start getting stuff that's as natural as possible, start doing this smoothie in the morning. It takes less than 15 minutes to do. And watch what happens. Just give it a try and see what happens. I think that's the thing I would want to say to your listeners, and I'll help you with that. I'll help you with that. You can do this. It will make a huge difference. I know it sounds crazy that a smoothie could make a difference in how you look and how you feel and how long you live or whether you get cancer or not or whether you get diabetes or not. I know that's hard to believe for many people. I could not believe it. I didn't know there was such a connection between what I ate and how I felt. But I'm here to tell you it's that simple. And you don't have to give up things. Just start giving your body what it needs. Your body will automatically start craving more and more of the good stuff if you give it that opportunity.
So one thing I would like for you to talk about for just a minute that's in your book, which most people don't know. Everybody's of the opinion now that they need to eat more fish to get more omega oils, which are fatty chain acids, which are critically important to anti-inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about the fish that's in the store?
Well, you know, we talked about the cows, and we talked about the chickens and the pigs, and they're doing the same thing to the fish. They're feeding them crap. They're giving them corn feed and all kinds of other, the cheapest food they can feed them, by the way. They're not living in the ocean. If you're eating salmon today, don't forget about it swimming around the ocean. It's in a pen. It's in a pen with thousands and thousands of other salmon. They're so tightly packed that they can barely swim. They have to litter them with antibiotics because they weren't meant to be that close and swimming in each other's feces. So they have to load them with antibiotics to keep them from getting sick, okay? Much less they're not getting any exercise. They're obese. Then they give them female hormones to make them fatter. So and they're not really pink. If you go to the store and buy farm-raised salmon, it's pink. Guess why it's pink? It's pink because they give it food coloring to make it pink. Otherwise, it would be gray. And why do they give it food coloring? Because people wouldn't buy gray salmon. You wouldn't buy gray salmon, would you? And if you don't believe me, just look. When you go to the store, it'll say artificially colored. When you see farm-raised, it'll say artificially colored. They're mandated by law to put that there. so you'll know. And so normally a salmon would be eating wonderful crustaceans that are very nutrient-dense, and that's why they're pink, because they're eating these crustaceans. Well, they're not eating crustaceans. And so think about it. You've got this obese, sick, drugged-up fish that you're eating. And so it's totally different. And if you get a chance to look at a wild-caught salmon, okay, some places sell wild-caught salmon, and if it says wild-caught, it probably is. Look at the difference. Look how lean it is. Look how dark orange it is almost. It's a totally different. Eat it, it tastes totally different. And that's what I talk. That's what I mean by frankenfood. We have so much food that's not really food anymore. And so if you were eating, you've been eating salmon all these years, and you're getting fatter and you're getting sicker, and you're like, well, I'm eating salmon. Well, the salmon has changed on you. That's what they didn't tell you. That's what nobody knows.
So do you have children?
I do.
What do your children eat? How old are they?
Well, I have a 17-year-old son, and my daughter's 21. And I'll tell you, back when I was still asleep before I woke up, my son used to eat chicken fingers or chicken nuggets at every meal. It didn't matter if we went to the fanciest restaurant in town. He ordered the same thing. And I was dumb enough at that time to let him do it. And I don't know how his organs developed, quite frankly. You know, I don't know how he developed a heart or liver on chicken nuggets. There's not a lot of nutrient value. And it's a testament to the wonders of the human body that it can take chicken nuggets and do that with it. But we started making the smoothie at home, and my kids love the smoothie. It tastes great. I've done 60 seminars at Whole Foods and different places, and no one's ever told me it tastes bad. And it tastes great, and they love it, and they request it. You know, they used to eat at McDonald's all the time. They used to drink sodas all the time. Voluntarily, they don't do that anymore. It's a treat when they do. It's not because they feel forced to do that. They just don't want it anymore. And I think you'll be surprised over time if you give your family's bodies a chance to be exposed to these wonderful nutrient-dense foods, how they'll choose that. I just got an email today from a mom, and she says, you know, we started this self-help 10-day challenge, and I was the one behind it. She said, now my kids are driving it. Now my kids are adding things to the smoothie, and they want this, and they're getting very excited about this whole process. And so I think we think sometimes our kids are going to do it, but they do.
So do your kids just, because I have a 12-year-old here at home, does your kid just eat the smoothies, or do they supplement that into addition to meals? And did you move them from McDonald's?
Yeah. I don't want to give anyone the impression that it's, no, the smoothie, my philosophy is feed your body first. So even if you go out, and I'm not suggesting you do this, but even if you go out and eat a piece of pizza, or you eat a donut, or you eat a bad fast food meal, or you go out and have dinner at a restaurant, and it's not that healthy, that's not the best thing. But feed your body first. So start off the day with a sizable smoothie that's going to give your body everything that it needs. And then make sure you have what I call a self-help salad. This isn't your average salad. It's got so power-packed. You wouldn't believe all the things that are in that. And it tastes great, too, just like the smoothie. Make sure you're giving your body at least those two things every single day. And what happens is your body will start choosing better and better foods because it sees what it's getting out of this food. I know it sounds crazy, but you'll stop wanting the pizza. You'll stop wanting the hamburger. You'll stop wanting some of these things. Your body will start craving the nutrient-dense foods. And so give your body those gifts every day and see what happens. You're still eating meals. You're still, you know, hopefully those meals are more what I call living food. They're more like what grandma and granddad ate, and they're real foods. Hopefully you're migrating to those. But you start off with a smoothie. You start off with a salad, but you eat your meals. Maybe you add some wild-caught salmon to the salad or something like that. But not meal replacements.
You know, one thing I found out when I changed my diet was I've suffered headaches literally since my first one was in the seventh grade, and I've lived with them my entire life. Of course, doctors want to give me pills. And once I changed my diet after this heart attack, the headaches went away for the first time in my life, and I'll be 53 in 2 weeks.
So, wow.
I mean, I live with them literally daily, weekly, if not daily. So that's another thing you have to look forward to if you do what Michael's telling you to do.
Well, I think a lot of people just think that as we get older, it gets harder to get out of bed. We have more aches and pains, more headaches, more chronic illness, and we just expect it to be that way. And it's going to be that way to some extent. I'm not saying that goes away altogether, but it's not what it should be. And I'm getting younger. I'm feeling better. I have less arthritis. I have less aches and pains than I had 5 years ago. And my best friend, who is a track star, this his story's in the book, he started on this, and he's actually faster than guys that are 10 and 20 years younger than him. He's beating them in races now. He wasn't doing that before, and it's because of this incredible nutrition that he's given his body. You know, in the book I talk about that we're only 7 years old. It doesn't matter how old you are, you're actually only 7 years old because except for a few eye cells and brain cells, you replace almost every cell in your body after a few years. Your digestive tract is replaced within 6 to 8 weeks. And within years, you replace all the cells in your kidneys and your liver and your lungs and your heart. And so the question is, what are you going to build this next body with for the next 7 years? You can start over right now and rebuild your body. And that's what's so fantastic about the human body that most people don't realize.
Could you talk just a minute? There was a part about the water that I thought was important that we missed, and that's don't waste to get thirsty, how much to drink,
yes.
Talk about your lymph, and the urine. I don't think people understand what the color of their urine is telling them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't either. I had no idea about hydration, and I used to think people that drink water all the time were idiots. Sorry if that's you. I was like, well, you're drinking too much water. What are you doing? And I didn't realize, you know, we all know we have a blood system and the heart and all that. Well, there's a river in your body much larger and much more expansive than your blood system, and that is your lymph system, which no one ever talks about your lymph system. And you notice your lymph system only when you get sick and you've got those knots under your arm or under your chin, and you're like, those are lymph nodes. Oh, what is that? We don't really know. Well, the lymph system is a river that flows throughout your body. It's expansive, and it's your garbage disposal system. It's how you get rid of bacteria and viruses and toxins in your body. And you guess what? There's no pump for that. There's not a heart for the lymph system. How does it stay flowing? Because I want it to flow because I want it to get rid of the stuff. Well, guess how it stays flowing? It stays flowing when you drink water. And if you're not getting enough water, then you're going to have what they call lymph deserts, places where your lymph system is dehydrated and your body is dehydrated. In those areas, that's where you can develop chronic illness, arthritis, and even cancer. And so you've got to make sure you're getting lots of water. The other way to create movement in the lymph system is through movement. A lot of people will jump on mini tramps because they want to get the movement. Movement helps too, and we're not moving enough. But you need to be getting plenty of water. How do you know if you're getting plenty of water? If your urine is clear, you're probably getting enough water unless you're drinking a lot of coffee or another diuretic that's causing it to go out before it's loaded with toxins. If your urine is light yellow to dark yellow, then you're definitely dehydrated, and you need to start drinking more water. If it's really dark and almost orange, you're extremely dehydrated. And if you wait till you get thirsty to drink, you're probably well beyond dehydration at that point.
So what about people whose urine smells very ammonia? Does it help to drink people?
Well, you want to answer that one?
Well, I mean, I look at the human body as like a, what do you call those things? The breaker box, like a breaker box, you know? So I don't get embarrassed about talking about feces and bowel movements, because you better have them, and you better have them 2 or 3 times a day every time you eat, because if you, whatever goes in, it better come out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not having enough water and other things, one thing I learned with this heart attack is if your urine smells very ammonia, it's telling you that you're having kidney problems and that you're probably having cardiovascular issues because you're not flushing them out enough. So I've learned a lot, and water was a source of fixing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got about 3 or 4 minutes. You want me to ask you questions? You got some more things you want to talk about?
Well, it's up to you. I don't know if you have a question that I have an answer that you're curious about. I'm happy to answer that.
Well, forgiveness, maybe. What role does that play in feeling good?
Okay. Well, what happened after I went through all this?
Tell me why
change.
You... What did you have to forgive, and how'd you do it? What button did you push to make it forgive?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if there's a button. What I'll say is, after I got through all the physical stuff about healing, it dawned on me that you can eat all the right foods and all the right water and all of this stuff, and you could still be sick. And, you know, sometimes it's not about what you're eating. It's about what's eating you. And I began to realize that people, if they're not happy, if they've got baggage, if they've got hurts and disappointments and bitterness that's bottled up inside them, even if they're eating all these good foods and good water, it may not make a difference. And what I discovered was there's actually a statistic out there that's been studied. There's a study in my book that shows if you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day and you're unhappy, they're both equal to the same loss of life. They both take 10 years off your life, off your life expectancy. And so it really, these things, we've always thought they did, but it's been proven now they really do have physical consequences. And so if you go through your life holding grudges, anger, bitterness, unhappiness, unforgiveness, then it really will take a toll on your health. And we've seen it happen in people that we've known. We've seen it happen even in our own lives. And so what I learned is, you know, I think Nelson Mandela said that unforgiveness is the poison pill we take and swallow, hoping it will kill our enemies. And so what I learned was forgiveness is not a gift you give someone else as much as it is a gift you give yourself. Because
so what you're saying is that we are our emotions?
What's that?
I'm being kind of sarcastic. What you're saying is we really are our emotions.
Yeah, we are. Yes. Yes, we are our emotions. And we don't realize that. We think this won't matter. Or this is benefiting me somehow to hold us onto this anger. And it's really not. It's suicidal. And it's not hurting them. It's hurting us. And that's one
they
thing
have
I learned.
No idea
so I talk about how you can forgive.
Yeah. I went to church this morning, and my pastor was talking. I go to a Unity church, and he said somebody told him that somebody said something negative to him, and he spent 2 hours fretting over it and thinking how he should.
Yeah.
He realized that he was arguing with himself, and the person didn't even know that he was upset about it. So he said, forget it. I'm not even going to think about it anymore. So, maybe, you know, they don't even know, so you're hurting nobody but yourself. So take a few minutes to again, please, and tell us where to find you, find your book, find what you're doing, and you have some new healthcare products, so quickly tell us about that. Well, you know, your products.
Well, you can go on my website, selfhealth, It sounds like help, but it's like your health, selfhealthrevolution.com. If you reach out to me on there and say you're on the show, then I'll make sure the first 20 people get a free book. And if there's a ton of people, we may extend that to more folks and get you a free book. And I'm happy to help you with the 10-day challenge or anybody that you know. If you would like to do that, I'm happy to help. We do have I'm working on an organic herbal skincare product. I have a section in the book called You Eat What You Put on Your Skin. And a lot of people don't realize that 70%+ of whatever they rub on their skin goes into their body, into your organs, throughout your body. And so if you can't eat it or you shouldn't eat it, then don't put it on your skin because you'll eat it. And so we're working on an edible, organic, plant-only product for your skin. It's doing amazing things, 300 women around the country internationally. And reach out to me if you're interested. I'll make sure you get a free trial of that. You can try that for free. And it's really incredible. And I'll send some to you also, Ava. I meant to do that before. Anyway, I'm grateful to be on the show. I always enjoy talking to you. It's like talking to an old friend. And
it is. I enjoy it as well. I enjoy it as well. Well, hang on after the show, and let's chat for a minute. And thank you for taking the time to come on. I appreciate it. And good night.